Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
Can we bring your daughter in now?
Can we bring Julian,
who's
going to
stop by?
Would you like me to switch so you could see her?
Sure. All right. I'd love to see how she's doing. It's wonderful to have the progeny.
I can't believe she got up this early in the morning to come in. I got a very a straight-faced emoji when I sent her a note. I said, we're leaving at 7:30.
And there is your beautiful, beautiful daughter. It is so nice to see you, Julia. How are you?
I'm good.
You
guys interrupted my knitting, but it's okay.
Are you really knitting? Are you really knitting something?
I was crocheting earlier. I was making a hat, but then I ran out of yarn, so now I'm moving back on to knitting.
It's constant creativity from you.
But be fair, this is for class, though, right?
Yeah, my knitting is for a class. My crocheting is for passion.
Oh, really? So knitting you're in a graphic design program at VCU, correct?
Yeah, it's a long story.
For all the tuition payers out there, I'm kind of curious, what's she going to undergrad for? Knitting. Yeah. What?
I make art with yarn now.
So that is your medium? Is that your medium that you're working in?
Yeah.
Oh my God, yarn?
For the most part, sometimes fabric.
Well, you've really done, but also you're still at a point where they're making you do everything, right?
Yeah, I did. I think my least favorite thing was spinning my own wool to make my own yarn. I could not get that
sustainability.
I kept thinking about when the wool's already spun and knitted, I don't mind it. But then thinking about it in the big pile and making it myself, I feel closer to the animal. I don't really like that.
The sheep.
The animal.
Let me ask you about this.
Yes.
So you are, this is what I know, and then you can correct me on everything I've got wrong. So I think of you as early, and you've been doing this for a long time, as very artistic, and you're in, I remember you doing graphic design. Now it sounds to me like you've made, and my daughter's made a few pivots from what she started working in and where she is working now. Are you leaning more towards just becoming an artist as opposed to working in graphic design where you're going to have, your medium? Because that sounds to me like something I would see in an art gallery working with different mediums. Is that accurate or is that inaccurate?
That is actually a good question because I'm figuring that out myself. I'm a graphic design major with a crafts minor and I'm looking to do glass blowing next semester. Our graphic design program is so open to where if you can justify it, you can work with just about everything. I know my friend last semester did this really cool carving out of a wood block and then was able to make all these super old timey looking prints. And that was her final thesis. And everybody's doing all these crazy things. And basically, if you can justify it, you can do it.
So if she's done, for example, she built a swing.
Yeah, I built a swing set.
She designed it and built the whole thing. She made a dress out of Beanie Babies, which was pretty cool. I mean, she's gone in every direction, and I do love the fact that the program at least has her dip her toe in every sort of medium.
So could you, Julia, make the pivot if you got out of school? Could you see yourself making the pivot to do just about whatever struck your fancy in the art world? Or are you thinking about working in the business community and advertising and stuff like that? Where do you see yourself going?
I'm kind of past that. I work at a print shop right now, and I think the most exciting thing for me right now, just because I'm so into all the different mediums, is having people who are unfamiliar with the department coming in and asking or giving me their idea and me being able to advise them and be you could do this or this or this with it, and giving them all the options. So I think I like more of the production side of things for graphic design. I don't really like sitting in front of my computer much anymore, especially after doing that all last year.
Sounds like you want to create art. You want to you want to be hands-on and do stuff like that.
Some of your printing activity, those are classic old printing technologies too, right? They would have existed the same 100 years ago that they do now. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that it's a real physical medium. And like she said, because of COVID, she spent 18 months doing stuff virtually on a computer, which is a great skill to have. But it is so nice to see her actually create. I love to watch her knit.
Well, she's been doing that forever. I mean, she's been doing that for a very, very long time. And that sounds cool. And it sounds like you're able to, in this program, expand your horizons and you know, go in a direction that's inspired. And that's not bad, because it's all under that same umbrella. You're creating, right? Mm-hmm. That's really, and you still like the program. You're enjoying yourself down there.
Love the program, but who knows what I'll be doing next year? Who knows?
Okay, that's cool. I like that.
And
especially
she has a three-legged cat.
Oh yeah, I have two cats named Ozzy and Gnocchi, and Gnocchi has three legs, which is a new development.
Like he had to have one removed.
A cat that good, Mike, you don't eat all at once.
Okay, we're just gonna fry this up right at you. That's
what
so
happened?
Nasty.
Her toe got really big out of nowhere, and we were like, "Oh, her toe's big. This is so funny." Yeah. And then we took her to the doctor.
Same thing that happened to your dad, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, actually.
Diabetes.
This is my cat, type B.
Oh.
No idea what actually happened with her, but she's
come here, A1C. A1C. All right, before we let you go, I want to ask you about this. As far as, Rob, feel free. This is your family.
Okay.
Shut me down if you wish to.
All right.
Some advice for the frat boy, your brother who is, who is dead. We discussed him briefly
yesterday.
Yeah. He's probably still asleep as we tape this program.
Bet your ass he is.
You bet your ass he is. We want to make sure that he does well. He's pledging this fraternity. Seems to be his big thing. What advice would you give your brother at this particular juncture as he navigates his way through the college situation?
Because you've been college student. You really have.
Kind of hit the ground running. I remember that. You kind of hit the ground running. And, Rob was talking about how he made it through the first, semester by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah, we'll see. It's the finals. We still have to do that. But I'm sure we'll be fine.
Oh, he's got finals?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Uh-oh. I'll stay out of it for the most part. But I think my only advice for him right now is to take his car to get a state inspection that's 4 months overdue so I don't have to keep driving him to see all his stupid brothers.
I agree with Julia, Rob. I agree.
It's embarrassing for him too. So maybe if he could just do that.
The reason that he hasn't gotten this done is just what?
Every time I'm in town, my mom says, "Well, can you go drop Robert's car off?" I'm like, "No,
because it's Robert's car.
It's Robert's car. Yeah. I'm not doing that."
Yeah,
right.
So,
all right.
One could argue that the reason it's not done is because of me, but I see it otherwise.
I think it might happen in the next day or so.
Who knows?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
We'll see. We'll see.
Julia, is there anybody you want to say hi to out there that might be in podcast land, or are you just happy to be here? I don't know.
Say hi to him. Go ahead. You can play it for him.
Who?
Henry.
Oh no, he wouldn't listen to this.
I'll make him listen.
I'm keeping my boyfriend out of this.
Okay.
I say hi to Shaysho and Grandpa Bob.
Oh, that's very, very nice.
And Kathy.
And you like Henry a lot? Is Henry the one?
Yeah.
Henry?
Oh, we got that. That's enough. I'll take that.
Henry will actually be coming to our house for Thanksgiving.
Is this the first? You've met Henry, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. I like Henry a lot. Very much so. Yeah.
Very good. I like that name, Henry. Yeah. It's a good name. George Carlin would like that name. Henry.
He was here a minute
ever call? Does anybody ever call him Hank?
Nope, only my dad.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
What a jerk.
There you go. Your dad and I think a lot alike. We have to take a break. Love you, Julia. Thank you so much for coming in. And
we will
take a break and come back with more fun and more thrills on the Michael Myers Show.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
McMahon, along with Doc Severinsen and the NBC Orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving? We're doing the show, of course, tomorrow.
I was going to ask you if you got your turkey yet.
Sure.
Do you, truthfully, do you help Mrs. Carson prepare the turkey?
Just like you helped Mrs. Severinsen prepare the turkey.
No, there is no Mrs. Severinsen.
Oh, that's right.
There used to be.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
The fact that I never helped her stuff her bird was one of our big problems.
I thought that was your problem. Well, now, you know, I forgot all about that. We've been together so long that I forget sometimes where we are.
Which wife are we on?
On various Thanksgivings. No, we're gonna.
In fact, that was one of the things we really fought about.
What?
Wanted an oyster stuffing in the turkey, and she wanted bread stuffing, and she got bread stuffing and a lot of money.
You mean you used to argue about what you're going to stuff the turkey with?
Yes.
And that was one of the problems.
She's still stuffing the turkey, but not with money.
Well, it's nice to know you have no bitterness.
Well, I always used to say, you can have turkey and all that. I don't like turkey that much.
Yeah.
I said, I love lasagna. She calls up every year at Thanksgiving, says, are you having your lasagna?
They don't forget, do they?
No.
You know, in the Midwest, it's seriously enough, and when you grow up out there, some of the kids would have to get a pet turkey. And at the end of the year, you get attached, and you can't go out.
A pet turkey?
A pet. But kids would get him, you know. Now you got to go out there and kill him. I couldn't do that.
They deserve it.
What?
They deserve it. Anything that ugly should die. As you can see, I'm not too crazy about Thanksgiving.
You don't quite. No, you really aren't, are you? You're not going to celebrate.
I suppose you'll be home with the family having turkey. Just a typical American family.
That's right. You'll be out there writing the checks.
Yes.
Sending them for the stuffing, huh?
You will have written yours the day before.
That's right. Mine's already in the mails.
And Ed went to deliver his personally.
Yeah. But what does he know? Tie askew and nose aglow. Okay. Well, I don't know about you. We're having an awful lot of fun up here, folks. Look, if you really feel badly now, it feels so terrible that you're going to be alone.
I didn't say I was going to be alone.
You just said you ain't going to eat no turkey, right?
That's right.
You can come over there. Would you like to come to the house? And
this is the first time you've ever asked me.
Well, you made me feel so guilty.
I mean, you, when you ask an employee in front of 15 million people, do you want to come to the house for Thanksgiving dinner? What am I going to say? No. You know what I say? I say, yes, Mr. Carson, I love it.
Can you come?
No.
We really don't have room anyway, to tell you the truth.
I'll be in the neighborhood.
I just did it because you made me feel so guilty.
That's good. I'm glad.
Can you give me whatever you're taking tonight? You want to give me a hit on that, whatever it is?
I can't give you any, but I'll sell you some.
This has been a color presentation of the NBC Television Network.
TMOS Classic.
This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor. We're excited to announce they've teamed up with Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, on a new special edition product, a salted caramel chip protein bar. IQ Bar's plant protein bars are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit. For example, my salted caramel chip IQ Bar has 12 grams of protein and only a gram of sugar, plus nutrients like Lion's Mane Adaptogen. And 10% of sales go to Chef Keller's nonprofit program, Mentor, supporting the next generation of aspiring U.S. chefs. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ Bar. cars and all of their amazing products. I'm in love. When products are co-created by a Michelin star chef, they taste incredible. But what's even more important is how they make you feel. When I start my day with an IQ bar, I feel amazing. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text TMOS to 64,000. That's TMOS to 64,000. TMOS to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. IQ Bar, the best. All right, so a couple of things I wanted to get to here, just briefly, that a buddy of mine told me that when you go on keto, he actually went off the keto diet because it creates a bit of urgency at the wrong time.
Okay.
And I'm here to tell him that, yeah, I think that there is an adjustment period digestively that one has to go to. And the reason I mention this, and I am now in a zone where my digestive functions kick in only at the worst possible time. Only when, you
exclusively.
Know, when it's the worst. Exclusively.
Yeah.
At the brown zone comes at the wrong time. What is the wrong time? Well, maybe it would be clearer for you if I gave you the right time.
Yeah. Okay. What would be in the perfect world? What would brown do for you?
Brown in the perfect world would be early a.m.
Sure.
Early AM.
Like maybe first thing out of bed.
Like that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was a complete, total
even
evacuation.
Even during the holidays, there's a lot of packages then.
Well, you know what? It just, if it was evacuating first thing in the morning with that sound, if that sound went off, it's like, clear the decks, clear the decks. You know when it's not? When it's not is when we've gathered up the youngster, we've popped him into the vehicle, and we've gone out to the big box store.
Yep.
I am not an aficionado of using a public facility. You know what a public facility represents to me to a certain extent? Lack of control. That if you had the control, you would have planned it and you would have gone it. Now, if you want to drop a winky tink that, you know, you've been drinking water all day,
that's a
different
story. Whole different thing.
But I was in Giant. It was a nightmare. Still haunts me.
I'm a big fan of Costco, as you know, but I'm not a fan of their bathroom facilities.
No. Well, any
bet
store.
They go bulk.
Yeah.
Any store. You know, I was in, this occurred to me when Mrs. O'Mara on Saturday or Sunday, don't know which day it was, wanted to do a little Christmas shopping at our high-end department store, Marshall's. And she wanted to go out to Marshall's, and we're in Marshall's, and I said, we're driving. It's about 20 minutes to this shopping center, and we are about 15 minutes in. And I said to Carla, I said to her, this is a true story.
Yes.
You need to turn the car around now.
Abandon ship.
And then it's just like
AR said, turn the car around.
Then my colon would best be described as going,
and then
it receded, and then it receded, and by the time we got to Marshall's parking lot, it was back going. As we walk into the Marshall's, and I say, I have to use the facilities. Does it matter?
I don't know.
I don't
if
care
I can go
about
to Marshall's
my fear
or TJ Maxx.
And I go and I walk to one side where the dressing rooms were, which is normally where you would put the restrooms. And that's when the lady says, no, the restrooms are over there. She points to the entire other end of the box where they have their picked over shoes.
Quick question. Did she give you a number? Usually you got to get a number.
Yeah, no, not to go. That's for the dressing room. And these were the restrooms.
And thank God, Mike, you didn't do what most Marshall patrons do is just use the dressing room.
Give me eight. I'm going to leave eight.
So
many pins on the floor.
I book it across the floor at Marshall's. And as I book across, I get there. I walk in. You know, it's got that warehousey kind of like dirty door area for the women.
Beat up.
I go in and two staller. First stall says, out of order.
Oh, no.
Second stall, handicapped. I look underneath. They're the dancing old man feet where some 85-year-old is there. And then I sit there and say, all right, control, self-control, just wait.
Right.
It looked to me that the feet were moving because business may have been completed.
Oh, but not in a sexual manner like we've seen in airports.
No,
knees weren't locked like in Dumb and Dumber.
No. And then I hear this. I hear this. It's like you hear the water run. Shh.
Yeah.
And then you hear.
Oh.
Here.
tearing a paper.
He's tearing off paper towels.
What?
Not one, not two, not three, five paper towels. Huh. I said, what in the, what kind, is Jack Nicholson from As Good As It Gets in the other stall?
Over right.
There? What is going on? Why? And then I found out why. Because then I'm so phobic of other people that I'm not going to stand there and be staring at him. I turn, I walk over to the urinal and pretend like I'm peeing. All I'm really doing is waiting
done that
to
before.
Use that stall.
That's like when you're at a casino and you're shadowing somebody waiting for to jump on the machine.
It, right?
Yeah. No, I don't want them to know that I need to go on that machine.
So you're pretending to pee in the casino?
No, but you lurk like you're playing at a machine waiting for them to go.
I understand.
And he leaves, and I walk in, and it's one of those.
Was he older? Was he shuffling?
Didn't see because I had my back to him completely.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
And when I walk in, it's one of those handicap stalls that has its own sink. You know the type
that's
the super big one, right?
Luxury.
And pristine. I guess the five paper towels may have been him doing whatever he had to, but the place was sparkling.
Stuffing.
And I relaxed, and then after I concluded, I just bounced out of the men's room.
Lighter than air?
I walked and I said, hello, Carla. What are we doing today? What are we? La, 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 la.
I have my answer. You know.
I'm walking on air. What a wonderful time. Little Michael, would you like to race daddy down the aisle? But, you know, the warning is there for this new little program.
How long is this recalibration period?
Don't know.
Oh.
Got no idea.
And also, was there ever a period where there was no urgency whatsoever? Because when you go on a protein-rich diet, sometimes it puts the brake on the system.
Yeah, I'm going in between now. It's just not, I can't set my clock to anything right now. And I'm using a little enhancement, too. I use a little of the old powder at night, you know, to
get
the plumbing going a little bit. And the
orange flavored?
Okay. Nope, not at all.
All right.
Clear, yeah.
How does the Diet Coke fit into keto?
No carbs in Diet Coke.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Right
it's just the chemicals.
It's chemicals,
that's all
it is. But I'll be honest with you, I could be feeling a little urgency right now.
TMOS Classic.
Seldom does something happen on morning TV so good that I feel I must call Mike in on the way to work. But I did today because Rand Paul and his curious haircut was on the Today Show, and they paired him with Savannah Guthrie. And I think that was a bad pairing, Mike. I think that sort of should have been a Matt Lauer interview. Your thoughts?
Two things on Rand Paul.
Two things.
I am interested in this man because when he gives a speech, he says things that interest me. I know he's a libertarian. I know he is extremely right-wing in some of his beliefs, but I am curious about him.
Love
and I'm not
it.
Curious about anybody else that's out there. The second part of it is that hair. And I am sorry, I still think that hair needs to be addressed. If he is going to be a legitimate candidate for president, he's going to have to explain it and show what he does.
What if we
tell us if it's real or
pulled
not.
It back a little?
Or maybe some relaxer.
Something.
He goes between, when he made his announcement, I watched most of his speech
from
Kentucky when he made the opening speech in, I believe, Lexington. And he was doing the dry look, and I was okay with that. He came out on the Today Show today, and he had the wet look.
Do you think it was wet, or was he just sweaty?
No, he does the wet look quite
product,
a lot.
Product, yeah.
He does the wet look, and the wet look screams at me. I'm not just the president. I'm a client. That's what it. That's what
I
it
think
tells
you're
me.
With it. I think you're right. Anyway, he was on with Savannah Guthrie this morning, and this one particular exchange I thought was just a great example of broadcasting, and one that should be taught in our colleges.
And you once offered to drastically cut defense spending, and now you want to increase it 16%. So I just wonder if you've mellowed out.
Why don't we let me explain instead of talking over me, okay? Before we go through a litany of things you say I've changed on, why don't you ask me a question? Have I changed my opinion
on that?
That would certainly be a better way to approach an interview.
Okay.
No.
Is Iran
still
not a threat?
You've editorialized. No. Listen, you've editorialized. Let me answer a question. You ask.
And that's when he won the election.
Look, I didn't like the way she did that. I didn't think she needed to go that route with him, but I thought he was hyper defensive.
Yeah,
and
very much
so. You can't go into a national television forum and have that attitude and expect presidential credibility. You can't.
Especially since it's your first interview. It is his
absolutely
first big interview.
It might work on Fox, but it's not going to work on a major network.
You can't screen through that. They teach you to bring your own agenda if you're on the outside looking in, right?
Right.
He tried to bring it too clumsily.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And you know, you just a great example of a guy that's probably been slammed by NBC, and he comes on the show and he's fine with it, is John McCain. John McCain
does a great job.
Reserved,
kills,
collected, and he will battle with them, but he will only do it when they get done asking their questions.
And tactfully done. Tactfully done,
yeah,
too.
It looked like it made them both look lightweight.
Yesterday, two deaths, one to me exponentially sadder than the other. Stan Freberg was 88 and he passed away. He was a radio voiceover, advertising, writing legend. Here's a little montage. You'll know his voices. He did a lot of Warner Brothers cartoon voices, but never got credit because Mel Blanc's contract said voices are by Mel Blanc. Mm. So even when other people did voices in the cartoons, you didn't see him. So you'll hear one of his commercials here, a couple of his cartoon voices, and also a great parody he did of Dragnet. Here's Stan Freberg.
One half of his lawn has been eaten by a sheep. The other half cut with a Jacobson power mower. How long did it take the sheep to eat that half of your lawn?
Well, he's still eating. I'd say he's been working on it now for about 6 weeks. He's neat, but he's not too fast.
And how long for the Jacobson mower to cut this half?
12 minutes.
Proof positive that the Jacobson mower is faster than sheep.
I am a good speller, I am. C-A-T, dog. B-A-T, Rhode Island.
I'm Mrs. Rabbit, the little fellow's mother. And I've been so worried about him.
Three little pigs were really gassed. They'd never heard such a corny blast.
We played in the West. We played in the East. We've heard the most, but you're the least.
This is the countryside. My name is St. George. I'm a knight. Saturday, July 10th, 8:05 p.m. I was working out of the castle on the night watch when a call came in from the chief. A dragon had been devouring maidens. Homicide. My job. Slay him.
That's when he was really young when he did that,
yeah,
right?
That's like early 50s. You want to have a blast, surf some Stan Freberg on YouTube.
That's fun. That's good. Nice tribute to him,
and
Rob.
Just three more real quick clips. He was so great at skewering pop culture of the 50s. He once said, my records aren't released, they escape. Because Capitol would have a hard time releasing his stuff. Here he is versus who was very popular at the time, Lawrence Welk.
What is that noise there? The bubble machine. Turn off just a moment. Hold it just a moment, please. Turn off the bubble machine.
And also one of the greatest stabs at Elvis ever.
Could I have a little more echo on my voice? Oh, it's always crowded. That's got it.
And no one was doing that in 1956. Stan Freberg.
Cool. No one's doing that now.
Very cool. We appreciate it. Here's another one you might not care for. James Best, I believe, also 88, who was a noted acting teacher.
You got to pause on that one.
No, I don't.
You can't. Oh, my God. All right, go ahead.
I love you, Ron.
I know. He was a noted acting teacher, but he made his money playing Roscoe P. Coltrane on the Dukes of Hazzard. And anyway,
you're going to play a lot of him now, too?
No, I just want to play his laugh.
Okay, because I'm burned out.
That's how they close the show.
Oh, this was an icon. This guy.
Yeah, this was a guy.
No, he wasn't an icon.
Stan Freberg.
He was
not
a character.
So much,
Stan Freberg did a lot of work, obviously, but all right. I'm not going to slam dead people. That's not what I'm gonna do. I don't know how I got in that position.
Now, this is great. We have a P1, Chris Berenger, who has his kid listening to our podcast in his car seat.
I can't wait for this.
And
this
saw is this. So Carla cute. Showed me this yesterday.
This is so amazingly cute. Apparently, he likes when dude introduces Mike, and he does it twice here. Every time Dude says here, he yells Mike. One more time, I want you to hear it.
That's Better Call Saul.
That's
I hope dude sees that.
I do too. I'll make sure he sees it. It's so cool.
Way to
and
go, dude.
John Cryer, who seems to have great staying power based on the lack of talent, yes, was on the Kelly Lee show yesterday with Michael Strahan.
He's got the new Odd Couple show, right?
No. He's not doing anything right now because Two and a Half Men is gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're thinking of Matthew Perry.
Two different guys.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a very funny moment brought up when he was working with Ashton Kutcher on Two and a Half Men. Was brought up that in the day, John Cryer dated Demi Moore.
From my understanding, you had a fling with Demi Moore.
But who are you talking to?
But I'm curious, how did that go over when you first started working with Ashton Kutcher on Two and a Half Men?
It was a little bit awkward because she and I had dated when he was seven, so.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.